AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
Susie Dent, she off Countdown and 8 out of 10 Cats does Countdown. I think she is actually the longest standing cast member of Countdown in its current iteration. She has a new book out which is called Words for Life, and it is a word for every day of the year, including etymology, explanation and sort of similar words of similar meanings from both English and other languages. If you have a particular date of the year that is significant to you, if it is a birthday, an anniversary or anything else, text it into us on 53106 and I will do my best to find the corresponding day in the book and tell you what the word is, and maybe Susie can give us a bit of an explanation of it. Susie Dent, good morning.
Good morning, Anton. Lovely to speak to you.
It is lovely to speak to you. Can I get something out of the way first off, because it is irking me slightly. Surely 8 out of 10 Cats does Countdown requires either some form of parenthesis or hyphenation or italicization, otherwise it should be do.
Yeah, it is an odd one. To be honest, it's such a mouthful anyway. We just call it Cats Down. That seems to be far easier. But yes, grammatically speaking, you're right. It's not perfect.
Oh, say that again. My favourite sentence is grammatically speaking, you're right. Now, when you got asked to do that, I did a little bit of you think, I have a BA from Oxford. I have an MA from Princeton. I am not going to sit here and have Jimmy Carr and these bunch of reprobates make scandalous allegations about me for the entertainment of the nation.
To be honest, it didn't start that way. It started very differently. I think, first of all, I was trying to be funny, which hardly ever works. Anyone who knows me will tell you that I can be funny, but it's always by mistake. So I don't really realize what I've said, partly because I don't know the Urban Dictionary very well. I only know the Standard Dictionary. So I often say things that has a completely alternative meaning that I am unaware of. And secondly, Jimmy was quite polite in the early days, actually. And now, as you have rightly pointed out, I sit there, sort of stare into the middle distance while he insults me. And occasionally, just very occasionally, I manage to get one back. But that's too rare. I need to up my game.
Well, it is a tribute to you that you take it as well as you do. I can only imagine what the outtakes are like and the potential lawsuit that you may have against Channel 4 on the basis.
Oh, that's an idea.
Now, the book, you have a word for every day. Obviously, you will have personal favourites. Can I suggest to you that the absolute best is grief bacon?
Kummerspeck, yes. So, Anton, my first love, long before I fell in love with English etymology, was German. So I would always be immersed in German vocabulary books. And famously, it seems to provide a word for almost anything. And it's very good at emotions, particularly good, actually, at wistfulness and yearning and melancholy. And this one is slightly playful. So grief bacon is the translation of Kummerspeck. And essentially, Kummerspeck is the sort of slightly the extra weight that you put on, I suppose, or the kind of comfort eating that you do after a breakup, which then tends to collect around your middle. So grief bacon is such a lovely one. And I can also offer you a gorgeous Japanese word, which is kuchisabishi. And it's quite similar. This essentially is staring at the contents of your fridge in the hope of finding something new for the 10th time. But I love its translation because it's lonely mouth. So I'm eating this scone because my mouth is lonely.
I just love
that.
The thing about the grief bacon, though, there is something so much better about the fact that it is bacon rather than just comfort it. The specificity of burying one's sadness in bacon is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
It really is. It's one of many, many German compound words that I could bore you with that I absolutely love.
Well, on that topic, why are the Germans so gifted in the area of compound words and the English language isn't by comparison?
Yeah, we used to actually have something rather beautiful called kennings, which I mentioned in the book. So you'll find these in Old English poetry and in Old Icelandic poetry. And they're these two word compounds that are just these gorgeous poetic renditions of quite simple things. So the sun setting above the ocean was a sky candle. Your body was your bone locker, which I think is gorgeous. Your mind was your thought chamber. A ship was a wave horse as well, which I think is just gorgeous. And I wish we could return to those. Those kind of slipped out of use, but we are at heart a Germanic language. Our roots are Germanic. So, you know, when the Germans describe a slug as a Nacktschnecke, which means a naked snail, it's perfect. It just gives you that wonderful image and you know exactly what's going on. So we did once have them, but sadly, like so many glories of the English language, they've been lost.
Well, one of the great ones that you include, I think it is on for the 21st of April. Now, the 21st of April, the main word is pluvial, but you include an offering which is thunderplump.
Oh, thunderplump, one of my favourite words. Yes, thunderplump from old dialect. I think in Norfolk is where it was particularly recorded. It is one of those rain showers where the raindrops are really sort of fat and heavy and they soak you to the skin in seconds. And I personally have changed it into a verb. It actually sounds a little bit rude when I say it sometimes. I don't mean it to be, but if you just say, I have been thoroughly thunderplumped, because you are just, you know, you are soaked to the skin and it's just so evocative, like many dialect words. So yeah, I love that one.
Now, this brings me back to 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, because surely in the back of your head, you are wandering through the Germanic history of the English language thinking, I know so many beautiful etymological stories that would fit at this moment, but all they want to do is scatological stories that don't necessarily fit at this moment. Do you find it frustrating?
Sometimes if I offer a gorgeous etymology or one of my favourite words, Jimmy will say, no, that's too much like regular Countdown, let's move on. it is all about the comedy. But I would say, Anton, that we have a big audience for that show who are in for a treat, because we record for about 2 hours before it's cut down to a telly hour. And they are really, really playing the game. You can absolutely see them, you know, working away at the numbers challenge or trying to come up with the longest word. So the element of Countdown is not lost in that show, despite Jimmy trying to make it lost.
Actually, there's a good question for you. We have tomorrow Neil Delamere, who is one of Ireland's best comedians. Who,
love Neil.
Neil, has he done the Cats version of Countdown, or has he done Countdown?
No, he's not done the Cats version. I was sitting next to him just this week, actually, in the studio. So we recorded some of next year's Countdowns, and he was next to me telling the most wonderful stories. Somehow, all these really surreal things seem to happen in his life. This one was about a policeman trying to get a drone out of a tree with a football for several hours. He should come on the Comedy Countdown. He'd be brilliant.
Oh, he'd be fabulous. Now, the one thing I wonder is, having known Neil, I mean, the man is he's very funny. But as to his level of erudition, do you carry him, basically? Are you slipping him notes?
No, do you know what? He is so interested in language and he's always telling me about the latest research that he's just read about something. And you can tell in his podcast, actually, that he's really deeply immersed in linguistic history and just loves it, loves the parallels between Irish and English and the distinctions and things. So no, I would say very often I learn things from him the other way around.
Damn it. I was hoping I had finally found a flaw in Delamere. I will get him to tell his drone and football story when he does come in. Before that, to return to the words for life. April 25th, the alternative term for penguin.
Oh, yes, the alternative name for penguin. So penguin itself is a lovely word. It's Welsh, curiously. We think first used by Welsh sailors off the coast of Newfoundland who spotted the great auk, which is now extinct, but it was another flightless black and white bird animal that loved icy waters. Then eventually it was transferred over to the penguin that we know today. So I love the fact that it's Welsh. But in the 18th century, and a little bit before, actually, sailors had quite an affectionate nickname for this gorgeous creature. And you only have to look at a picture of a penguin to understand it. It was an arsefoot. It's just gorgeous, and it makes me laugh. It makes me laugh that there are two collective nouns for penguins. One is a waddle, obviously, because that's how they walk on land. But the other is a raft when they're in water, because they're so fluid. I mean, they sort of could not be more different on land as opposed to water. So, I love
that. Does
that
mean that it would be linguistically correct to watch an Attenborough documentary and say, oh, honey, you must come in. There is a waddle of arsefoots I'd like you to see.
Totally.
Oh,
yes.
What a time to
yes.
be alive.
Isn't it gorgeous?
We've had a text from Paul Harrington. You will remember Paul Harrington as one of Ireland's Eurovision contestants. Never mind contestants. Winner for Rock and Roll Kids and also regular on the Pat Kenny Show. He has texted in to say, Gestalt, please. No English translation.
No, it's true. It's true, actually. And do you know what? I've got the OED in front of me, and it is in English. So we do use it. So it's one of those kind of untranslatables, I suppose. And there are many of them. So yeah, it's a shape. It's a figure. It's used in many, many different contexts for a kind of configuration, but. It's very difficult. It's maybe if you think about a whole melody as opposed to the notes that make it up. And then there's Gestalt psychology and things. And he's absolutely right. It isn't easily translated, which is why we have kept it in English, like Weltschmerz, you know, sort of world pain, a sort of world weariness. And many of us probably feeling that at the same time. Schadenfreude, many of us know that one, but so many which, you know, have slipped into English simply because we don't have a direct equivalent.
He claims to be at home with the flu and is asking for the May 13th. I assume this may be a birthday. If it is, who knows? Could be something significant other than a birthday, but the word for the 13th of May is Fismer.
Oh, yes. Fismer is gorgeous. And that is another dialect word. And I don't know whether this is what's going on with the flu, but to fidget unquietly, to make a great fuss about little things and to make not very much progress, which probably does fit the flu quite well.
That's
a good one, isn't it? Yeah. Yes. So, I absolutely wish him well.
And how would one use Fismer in a sentence?
How would one use Fismer in a sentence?
As in, I'm in the midst of a Fismer? Is it a noun or am I...
No, it's actually, it's a verb. So that kind of fidgeting unquietly, but I'm just thinking that actually saying I'm Fismering today sounds really odd. But yeah, it is there as a verb. And I think you can also extend it to a noun, so sort of like petty agitations, you know, but they seem very real to you at the time, which I think probably... would apply to someone called a microlipid. And a microlipid is somebody who gets worked up over nothing, which I think all of us are guilty of at some point in our lives.
The other one that is near to Fismer that I like is Fizzle.
Fizzle is gorgeous. And actually, that's got a, well, 8-10 cats would enjoy
Indeed.
This one, because it is to break wind quietly. If you go back to its origins, actually, breaking wind is there. Children love the fact that that these are everywhere. Farts, essentially, because partridge also goes back to a word meaning to break wind. Because when partridges are sort of scared up and, you know, suddenly take flight, the churring of their wings apparently sounds a little bit like breaking wind. Or it's also hoisted by one's own petard. They go back to the French pété, meaning to break wind. So it's everywhere.
Petard
really.
Goes back to the French.
Yes, petard. It was essentially an explosive. So if you were hoisted by your own petard, you were essentially caught up in your own bomb, really, is the idea. But the noise that such a detonation made was compared to the breaking of
wind. I believe it is one of the crappier jobs of medieval soldiery. You sort of had to creep up on a castle door, nail your bomb, light it and leg it in the hope that they didn't kill you and it didn't kill you.
Gosh. Yeah, not fun. Not fun at all. And so obviously so many of these physical detonations actually then became metaphorical. Another one there is to explode. And to explode someone in Roman times, explodere was to loudly clap them off the stage after a really poor performance. So that plaudere in there is linked to applaud, of course. But because the noise that these Roman audiences made when they were dissatisfied with the performance was so loud, it was transferred to, you know, the sound of any detonation and then, you know, to, I guess, to metaphorical things as well. You can explode with joy, but it was all about clapping someone off the stage.
Well, it is fabulous, but it's no waddle of arsefoots, let's be clear. Susie.
Nothing is as good as that.
Congratulations on the book. It is great crack. And there is there's one. Have you ever done the etymology of crack? I think we own that exclusively in Ireland. Next time you're on, we'll talk about that. The book is Words for Life. There is a word for every day of the year. Thank you so much to Susie Dent.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.